Radio Network. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know that you can text in using the free Civic Media app. You can get that wherever you get your apps from. Just search for Civic Media. It'll pop up, download that sucker. Not only can you can communicate with me and all of my fine guests and co-hosts, you will be ready to rock and roll for Free Ticket Friday. Every Friday throughout the summer, we're going to be giving away packages of four Brewers club-level tickets. I've sat in these seats. They are great. The Brewers might be having a little rough go of it, but you'll have nothing but a great time no matter what the score. So be sure you go ahead and get that app so that you are ready to go for this Friday's ticket giveaway. But right now, I have got a fabulous friend of the show, colleague in broadcasting, and multiple Milwaukee Press Club award winner. Congrats to my friend Dan on racking up a few more awards this past week. He is the creator of, author, contributor to, as well as our political editor. You may know him best from the Recombobulation area. It's a great Substack. I subscribe and read everything Dan's got out there. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Dan, and congrats on your well-deserved recognition from the Milwaukee Press Club.
Thank you so much, Maggie. What an introduction. I really appreciate it. How about that? That's great. That's good stuff right there. Yeah, we had a good night on Friday. Some real exciting wins for us. So it was a good night for the Recombobulation area. Good night for Civic Media.
Yes. And congrats also to my guest co-host earlier today, Angela Lang, as well as my colleague Earl Ingram here at Civic Media. Good night. Well-deserved kudos for each and every one of you. Dan, there was over the weekend an incredible tragedy here in the city of Milwaukee. We had an apartment fire that took the lives of five people. I did not realize this, but unlike many states and other jurisdictions, we have very lax sprinkler laws here in the state of Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit more of the context, and maybe we'll warm up to a little bit of sound that I found, frankly, jaw-dropping in a time where very little shocks me anymore.
Yeah, a terrible tragedy over the weekend in Milwaukee. A four-story, 85-unit building went up in flames on the near west side in the city of Milwaukee, the Highland Court Apartments on the corner of 27th and Highland Avenue. And, you know, five people died from the tragedy. And it sounds like the apartment fire is going to make the entire unit unlivable. So lots of people displaced by this as well. People are asking a lot of questions. One of those questions that people were asking is why this building is not required to have sprinklers for fire safety in them. It turns out the building was built in 1968, was not required to have that at the time. And buildings constructed before 1974 were not required to have sprinklers, according to some comments over the weekend from Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky. So he said, you know, this is a grandfather clause and nobody was required to go back and make the building fire safe. And it sounds like from Lipsky's comments over the weekend to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you know, he said, quote, "It would be an expensive proposition, but I have four fatalities here today. I'm not sure what people think is more expensive right now."
That from City of Milwaukee Police Chief Aaron Lipsky. He's putting his finger right on it, right? It's, how much value do we assign to human life? And why shouldn't we be requiring older buildings to retrofit sprinkler systems? My grandma lived in a large multi-story building in the city of Milwaukee, and this happened to her back in the early 80s. Her picture was actually on the cover of the Milwaukee Sentinel before it combined into the Journal Sentinel, being rescued out of her upper floor apartment. She was in her early 70s at the time. And I remember having this same discussion then, right? Like, why didn't the building have sprinklers? And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, other people lost their life back in that fire. These are avoidable tragedies. Here's what I find to be an even greater tragedy. Let's take a listen, Jacob, to what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had to say on this loss of life.
The last thing that we want to do is to make it even more expensive to own a home or to rent an apartment. So I think, look, we have a great track record in Wisconsin. I think that we want to ensure that, of course, people are safe, but we have to be careful about overreacting to a single or unfortunate incidents like this, which occur, but less and less likely over time. When we have such a huge cost problem, the number one thing that I hear about when we talk about housing is, I can't believe how much it is for a 1, 2, or 3-bedroom apartment in most of Wisconsin. Obviously, if you add on additional costs, landlords aren't going to eat that. That would be passed along in higher rents. So I think we really have to think about that and what the potential ramifications are before we just pass a mandate that might feel good for the moment, but make people homeless, drive up costs, and certainly not have the intended effect.
Before I literally start screaming into the void, I'd like to get your reactions to the speaker's comments.
I mean, it's such a contrast from the comments from the Milwaukee fire chief, who was talking about, how the fatalities was his priority and dealing with that. And I think part of the context that we have to examine here is that Robin Voss is himself a landlord. And in his time as assembly speaker, has passed several laws benefiting landlords. You know, in 2019, the Journal Sentinel ran an investigative series on this and calling it the landlord's legislature. They've done things like eliminate tenant legal defenses, limit the power of cities to police landlords, allow landlords to toss renters' belongings to the curb, cap fees tied to building code violations. There's so many different things that they passed in the landlord's legislature that I think you have to wonder if there should be some accountability here.
So I wanted to approach this first as an economist, and though I find it pretty distasteful, trying to take the speaker's comments just at face value. Yes, requiring retrofitting all buildings, especially these large multi-unit apartment complexes, to retrofit for sprinkler systems is expensive. That shouldn't be the end of the discussion. And it's not the lack or presence of sprinklers that is making housing unaffordable and unattainable for most. To conflate those two issues together and say, we can't make sure that everyone is safe, and let's be clear about the people that live in buildings that were built before 1974. Most folks that I know that are living in buildings, especially multi-unit apartment buildings that were built before 1974, do not have household annual incomes of $150,000 or $100,000 or even $50,000 or more, right? It tends to be people on the lower end of the income scale. So translating what Speaker Voss just said is, because it is expensive for multi-unit apartment landlords like myself to make sure that all people are safe in their homes, it's okay if some poor people die. That's what Speaker Voss just said. Now, we can do an actual good faith analysis of what it would cost to retrofit sprinklers, what it might do to rents, how to avoid making rent even more unaffordable, excuse me. We could have a good faith discussion about that. We could talk about whether or not there might be some, dollars in the state budget to help defray those costs for landlords. But the idea that in such a dismissive way of human, to be that dismissive of human life, which is, it's the Pinto calculation. Well, should we recall the patently unsafe vehicle? Well, how many people do we expect to die? Are we going to get sued? Well, probably. Is the total dollar value of the lawsuits going to be less than what it would call us to recall the inherently dangerous product? Well, then, if it's more expensive to recall the product, we'll simply let the people die because that's economically cheaper. I think we need to ask ourselves, is that really the value that we want being expressed by elected leaders? Instead of saying, this is a tragedy, we need to assess how to make an apartment building safe for everyone, no matter what their income level is, what is an acceptable level of risk. This can't be it. The failure to have sprinklers cannot be okay. And then look at how to make sure that housing is actually affordable. It's not sprinklers that are the make and break problem here, right? There has been a decrease in federal funding in affordable housing, a decrease in state funding for affordable housing over the last 50 years. That's what's going on here, as housing has gotten way more expensive. So I just, this, that is a statement, in my opinion, that is so callous, and it is frankly in bad faith, because the conflation of those two questions together is not a good faith argument from someone.
And, you know, look, I drive past that building pretty regularly.
Yes.
In Milwaukee. You know, there's a lot of police and public safety people still outside of that building, and people are still trying to figure out where they're going to live and so many different things. And it's just an awful, the comments from Robin Voss today, is just an awful way for a powerful elected official to be talking about people who experienced a traumatic, deadly tragedy. Like, we're still, you know, this happened like, you know, less than 3 days ago.
Yeah, it's sad. Our friend Mark from Sussex saying, Voss didn't say that. He said, if you put in sprinklers, they can't afford to live there. Mark from Sussex and my other conservative friends, to say that we can't make things safe for people and just assume it's going to make things too expensive for them doesn't get at the root causes of unaffordable housing, and says, if you are low income, then you don't deserve to survive a fire, because all you can afford is an unsafe and inherently unsafe building. The Milwaukee fire chief, as my producer Jacob is pointing out, said, what is the value of a life? Robin Voss's answer as a Republican is less than an apartment building. That's what the answer is. I just, this is not something that I think is worthy of sort of a gloss over and an overarching sort of, well, this is fine because it's pro-business. It's also just pro-Robin Voss. He probably, does anybody know, does Robin Voss own a building that doesn't have sprinklers? This inquiring mind would like to know. Let's take a couple of calls on this. We got some action here, Dan. Phil from Minneapolis, what do you got for us? Say hello to Dan.
Hi, Dan. Well, I can speak from personal experience, having been in a 4-alarm special fire shortly before I got married many decades ago, that not having smoke alarms might be part of the problem. And I looked up Milwaukee City Code only requires landlords to put smoke alarms in public rooms, and requires the tenants to put and keep in good condition smoke alarms in sleeping rooms. Now,
yeah, Phil's got a point. Do we get rid of seatbelts because it makes cars more expensive? Do we get rid of smoke alarms because it makes apartments more expensive? Why do we have public safety at all? It drives up our taxes and tamps down business. Let's get rid of the clean air and clean water provisions. It makes business more expensive. Pshaw. Thanks so much, Dan. We're out of time. Keep